Star Wars 7x7, episode 3365. Well, this was the episode that we've all been waiting for in so many ways. Far, far away is part 6 of the Ahsoka series, and we're going to break it all down for you here today. And boy, is there a lot to break down. Punch it. Hey Rebel Rouser, I'm Alan Voivod, and this is Star Wars 7x7, your daily dose of Star Wars joy. And thank you so much for joining me for it. So in the previous 5 breakdown episodes that we've done for the Ahsoka series, point 1 has always been what the plot of the episode was, because it was so easy to summarize all of those episodes. But this time, it is not the case. In fact, this episode is filled with major moments that need their own talking points. So talking point number 1 basically is the fact that Ahsoka is barely involved in this story. So we get to see her on the way to Peridia at the beginning and get to hear the setup for a tale about the history of the galaxy, which begins a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, which is just fascinating and beautiful, and essentially tells us that the galaxy in which Peridia resides, that galaxy to the galaxy far, far away, is basically the equivalent of what the galaxy far, far away is to us. And the way things are going, she's going to wind up at Peridia in episode 7, which makes sense for how things are unfolding, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But let's move on to the second point, which is, yes, we finally get the reveal of Thrawn in the Ahsoka series, along with what are described in the closed captions as night troopers. And at one point, Thrawn says that their numbers have dwindled, but the fact that all of these stormtroopers have various red bands wrapped around their armor in odd places suggests that something else is going on with these stormtroopers, and it may have something to do with our third takeaway, which has to do with the fact that we find out this is the ancient homeworld of the Dathomir, and that Thrawn is actively collaborating with Night Sister. Now, when it comes to Thrawn and his ability to fight various villains, at least as far as he sees them as villains, the particular weak spot he's had and that he's had to deal with is anything related to the Jedi and anything related to the Force, because it's not something that he has control over. He has no understanding of it, and he can try to do things to counteract it that just have to do with strategy and tactics and understanding the cultures of the people who are fighting him. But ultimately, they wield a power that he cannot understand and control. And his alliance with the Night Sisters gives him access to that as a weapon. Now, it's hard to believe that the Night Sisters would necessarily trust Thrawn in the long term, especially considering, you know, their history and what happened in the Clone Wars, and who knows if these Night Sisters have a sense of what may have happened to their brethren on Dathomir in the Clone Wars, but one might imagine that their particular dark magic allows them to be connected in such a way that they may have a very good idea what happened in the regular galaxy far, far away. For a 4th takeaway, we'll talk about what is a classic Thrawn double cross. The fact that he was going to let Sabine go find Ezra, and that was going to honor the letter of the agreement that she made with Baylan Skoll, if not the spirit of it, because of course, once she finds him, then she's going to get killed and Ezra's going to get killed, and they sick Baylan Skoll and Shin Hati on them, and Thrawn's ready to support that with a couple of squads as well. But then there's the triple cross, which is that Thrawn is perfectly willing to leave Baylan and Shin behind as well. It doesn't matter to him whether they're dead or they're stranded on the planet. It all works out the same for him, and he's more or less right, at least until he finds out that Ahsoka Tano is presumably on the way, and that certainly adds a wrinkle to the process. And he asks for as much information about her as he can get, because we know how Thrawn works, and getting that kind of information is going to make the eventual confrontation very, very intriguing indeed. But in the meantime, the fact that Thrawn is willing to abandon Baylan and Shin does open up the possibility for Baylan and Shin to get all mercenary-like and decide that they're going to help Ezra and Sabine and Ahsoka out if they will allow them to help out, because Thrawn will have turned on them. And speaking of Baylan and Shin, that's our fifth takeaway from the episode, which is that something else, as if this series so far didn't suddenly just get crazy enough with the stuff that they introduced and finally revealed, the fact that Baylan is talking about sensing something going on in the planet and asking Shin whether she can hear it talking to her, whatever the deal is with that, I don't know if Dave Filoni is going to suddenly have the Bendu drop out in the middle of this thing or what, but there is a greater force at work that has yet to be revealed on this planet, and yeah, it could be saying something for a ridiculous climax, we don't know, but that fact is just kind of mind-blowing that there's now some other variable that we haven't even accounted for that's going to be brought into this whole melee is just astounding. And the last two takeaways I'm going to flag also are kind of the moments of the episode that are kind of like, huh? Like, those are the ones that just have elements that don't quite get over the suspend my disbelief hump. The first of them is our sixth takeaway, which is Sabine finally locating Ezra, which is a beautiful moment. It's a touching moment. It is everything that Rebels fans have been waiting for years and years. I was affected by this. Oh yeah, it's very well done, although I did just kind of want them to like just rush into each other's arms immediately instead of just doing the whole cool stuff kind of conversation, but you know, that's okay. Like, the embrace was so beautiful and so cathartic, and yet Sabine kind of saying, yeah, you know, just let me enjoy this moment for a little bit is kind of like a little bit frustrating, because the circumstances under which she, you know, arrived there might suggest that there's some urgency and that she might be saying, hey, Ezra, we don't have time to help all your little hermit crab people move. We've got to get back to the Chimera because they're going to leave without us. And Sabine doesn't know that Ahsoka's on the way. So, some urgency from her seemed to be warranted, and it wasn't there, and that kind of made me go, why? What is that about? And the last thing to flag is the fact that we have been given a ticking clock in this episode. It's going to take Thrawn 3 rotations to have his ship prepare for departure from Peridia. Why it's going to take 3 rotations, who knows? All the equipment that they are bringing up from, you know, somewhere in that Dathomiri temple onto the Chimera, all those, you know, parent coffins, it looks like why those couldn't have been on the ship already, I have no clue, so that they just could have been ready to take off the moment that somebody arrived. You would think that they'd be like, we've been stuck here for a decade, time is of the essence, right? And so that seemed a little weird to me. And then the other thing that seemed weird to me about this is just how exactly are they going to get off of Peridia if they're not moving stuff onto the hyperspace ring, they're actually moving it onto the Star Destroyer. And so something that we haven't yet seen with this hyperspace ring is a way for a Star Destroyer to connect to it. Now, if you think about the hyperspace rings that, say, the Jedi Starfighters used during the Clone Wars, well, they all kind of flew into like a place where it just had sort of a central crossbeam and it was able to hook in to that before then it would go take off in hyperspace. And we haven't seen that central crossbeam or any other way for the ring to connect to another ship, unless it is just like, you know, right at the edges of the ring, and Thrawn's going to nose his Star Destroyer into that ring as far as it'll go, basically, so there doesn't need to be any sort of crossbeam to connect to that way. But yeah, that would be the working theory for how Thrawn and the Chimera are going to get out of Dodge and back to our normal galaxy far, far away, is that somehow they can connect to that hyperspace ring that Morgan Elspeth has had constructed and then be taken back and unleashed on the galaxy. So there you go, that's our 7 takeaway breakdown and initial thoughts on what each of those points mean from far, far away, which is episode 6, part 6 of the Ahsoka series. And that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. Oh man, was this episode jam-packed! And it just remains for me to say, thank you so much for joining me for this episode as always. And may the Force be with you, wherever in the world you may be.
7x7 is not endorsed or sponsored yet by Lucasfilm Limited, Disney, or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. May the Force be with them. All original content is copyrighted by Star Wars 7x7. We hope you love it.